One of the best things I get to do in my job is I get to be in all kinds of different churches across my region. The Central Plains region, as Pastor Brent referred to, is South Dakota to Texas, Colorado to Missouri. So it's that little piece of geography in the middle of the United States that I get the privilege of serving in this way. It's truly an honor. I have about 55 churches in that region that I try to connect with and serve, and my goal is just to help them be the church that God desires for them to be. And so it's an honor to be able to be with you this morning. We're going to take a look at a theme and a topic that I know you as a church, in a sense, live as we talk about discipleship. When you think of the Central Plains region, we have this as our kind of our purpose statement. The Central Plains region exists to resource, network, and enable local churches to be disciple-making congregations. Out of that, there's three kind of top priorities that shape out of that. The first one is disciple-making congregations. The second is that we're multiplying ministries, which church planting is a huge part of that, but it's more than that. It's even in our own context, how can we multiply what we're doing better, and leadership development. I have to say that I appreciate so much your church's commitment to all of these values, but in particular, that multiplying ministries. I know that you as a church support Reverb Church here in the Rapid City area, and that is just great, and I really do appreciate your doing that. So if from my grid, though, if we're going to do those three things, disciple-making is the critical piece. If we don't do that, we're not going to do the other two. And so we need to have an understanding of what does a disciple look like? What does a follower of Jesus look like? And that's what we're going to spend some time on this morning. So would you bow with me in prayer first? As you know, God's word is alive, but unless his spirit does something in the midst of it in our lives, what we say and do really doesn't have much value, does it? So let's invite God's spirit to be the one who teaches us this morning. So Father, we do bow before you. And we are grateful and thankful to you for Jesus, for his death and resurrection, for his sacrifice that allowed us to be cleansed of sin, to be born into the family of God, and to be an instrument and a tool that you use to impact the world for the sake of the gospel. And so I pray that this morning, as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that your spirit would teach us personally that which would be benefit to us today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's hard to talk about discipleship without going to the key passage of Scripture that is familiar to all of us, Matthew chapter 28. Listen as I read verses 18 through 20, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That passage, which has become known to us as the Great Commission, encapsulates for us, I think, God's primary purpose for his church and for his followers. It gives some very practical directives. It gives some personal directives, and it gives us directives as a church as a whole. It's Jesus' final command before he is ready to depart and leave earth and to return to his Father. In this final command, there's only one command in these verses, and the command is to make disciples. Now, as he makes that command, he uses three words to describe how we're to go about that. Is there anybody here that loves English? Some of you are sick people. So English was never one of my favorite subjects in school. In fact, it still isn't a favorite topic of mine. But there are some benefit to some things about English that can help us. And it's helpful in this text to understand that the make disciples is the only command. It is the imperative of these verses. It is what Jesus tells us we must do. And then he has these three other words, going, baptize, and teaching, which are participles. Who cares, right? Well, I don't actually care that they're called participles, but what they do is important. Because what a participle does is it describes the action of the verb. It tells us how this verb, this imperative, is to be carried out. And so Jesus says that we are to make disciples by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. It is what he wants us to be doing. Now, since this is a command that comes from who? Jesus, who in these verses says he has a little bit of authority, right? Actually, he has all authority. I love the way Jesus puts it because he knows he's writing to guys like me. He says, I have all authority, and in case I don't understand what the word all means, he includes in heaven and on earth. Just in case I missed that all means all. And so it is he who has all authority that makes this command. And so simply put, you and I as individuals and we corporately as the church don't have an option. To determine the purpose for which we exist isn't by our design or by our choice. It comes by command of Christ. So disciple making is not one of the things that we, the church, do. It is what we do. Now, for that to take place, I think we need to have a clear understanding of two primary issues. What are the key qualities of a disciple? And then, what will it take to produce those qualities in a person's life? So that, as we understand that, everything that we do, individually and corporately, should help us to become better disciples and to make more disciples. So what is that character of a disciple? In the Gospels, I think Jesus makes some very clear statements that provide for us what it means to be a follower of Christ. West Center Baptist Church in Madison, South Dakota, just went through a refocusing kind of a journey. And as they came to the end of that journey, they defined very clearly that they wanted to be a disciple-making congregation. And in that process, they came up with what I think is a great definition of what a mature disciple looks like. And so why rewrite something that's good, right? So here's their definition. A mature disciple consistently cooperates with the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. This will grow their faith, leading to an ever-increasing ability to surrender to the Lord, love others sacrificially, and reproduce disciples. I think it's a great definition of what it means to be a disciple. Just as the command to make disciples comes from God, so does the product or the description of the disciple himself. I think the Bible gives us a very clear picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So I'm going to read six different passages of Scripture, six different verses. And as I read them, what I want you to listen for is I want you to listen for what are some of the qualities, the characteristics, how does Jesus himself describe a follower of him? First one is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus says, then calling the crowd to his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. John chapter 13, Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And then John 15, verse 8, he says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So what are some of those characteristics? I think one of the first characteristics we discover in here is that a disciple is submitted to Jesus. A disciple is submitted to Jesus. What that means is that we say no to self. A disciple is willing to deny self, take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. It's putting aside our own personal ambitions. It's turning away from the idolatry of self-centeredness. A disciple doesn't attempt to orient their life by their own self-interests and concern. How popular is that in our world today? Actually, how popular is that with you? Personally, I like my own stuff. I like my own way. I like what I like. I don't like to give up what I like. How about you? But to be a disciple is someone who is committed to Jesus, and that means they say no to self. By saying no to self, the flip side of that is that we're saying yes to Jesus. Self-denial is the negative way of saying it, right? Who likes negative stuff? No to self. So let's make it positive. A disciple says yes to Jesus. It means taking up the cross daily and following Jesus. This is actually a positive thing. Because what it means when we take up that cross, it means that we are willingly submitting to the priorities and the desires of Jesus himself. In the Roman world, where crucifixion was a form of a punishment, capital punishment, when one was convicted and was sentenced to death on the cross, the convicted was required to carry their own cross to their death place. In so doing, what they were really saying, and they were saying it out of compulsion, not because they wanted to, but they were saying, I have lived my life in rebellion to the rules of Rome, but now I submit and I carry the cross as a demonstration of that. You and I get the opportunity to willingly take up our cross daily and say yes to Jesus. It's a path that discipleship requires. It's necessary for a disciple to demonstrate their submission to the one they have previously opposed. Discipleship is an issue of control and lordship. So a disciple says yes to Jesus. No to self, yes to Jesus. A second characteristic I think we find in these verses is that a disciple must put Jesus first. That sounds kind of the same in some ways, but discipleship is really an issue of priorities. In Luke 14, it's a challenging verse where Jesus says, in comparison to our love for God, our relationships with everybody else resemble hate. There is that great of a disparity between how much we love Jesus in comparison to how much we love others, in fact, how much we love ourselves. As a follower of Jesus, there is nothing that is more important in life than to be a disciple of Jesus and to be what Jesus calls us to be. Obviously, Jesus isn't literally calling us to hate our families, right? But he is calling us that in comparison to what comes first, he comes first. I have a wife, 3 kids, and 4 grandkids. For those of you that don't know yet, grandkids are a great reason to have had kids. It's well worth the pain, let me tell you. They're a blast. I hope that my kids, my grandkids, and my wife know how much I love them. But I hope they also know that if the day were to ever come in this society and culture where to save their life I would have to deny our Lord, that I would rather them sacrifice their life than to deny my Lord. That is what Jesus is at here. He wants us to realize the priority is him first. Jesus says in John chapter 15, we have that great analogy of the vine and the branches. Where Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and we abide in him. It gives us a great picture of what this priority is like. As a disciple of Jesus, we remain in him, we follow him, and we go where he wants us to go. It's that moment-by-moment choice to put Jesus first. We also discover in these verses that a disciple loves others. A disciple of Jesus loves others. It's a defining mark of discipleship. In John chapter 15, he says, "This is my command, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater command than to lay down one's, or greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command, love each other." You know, when Jesus wrote this and he told his disciples that they were to love as he loved, they didn't realize at that stage that he was actually going to physically die for them. We know that. And so it's that kind of sacrificial love that God calls us to. And when we live that kind of a love, it demonstrates that we are his disciples. We also discover that a disciple makes disciples. A disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, bears fruit. In fact, notice how Jesus puts it in John 15, verse 8. He says this, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." The sense we get here is that every disciple, every follower of Jesus is a missionary. A missionary is a sent one. It is somebody who has been sent with some kind of mission and some kind of message. In John 20, 21, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." One of the key words in the Great Commandment or the Great Commission was what? To go and make disciples. In Jesus' prayer for his followers in John chapter 17, he says, "Just as you sent me into the world," he says to his Father, "I am sending them into the world." There's so much more. When you put it all together, the expectation is that as we remain in Christ, we will bear much fruit. We take that along with these sending statements that Jesus says, "I have sent you as I was sent." It becomes clear that making disciples is something that every disciple does. It's not the church. It's not some parachurch organization. It's not just pastors or paid staff. It's not just people with some particular gifts or personalities. But every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus, everyone who is a disciple is a disciple maker. Now, there's not one of us here. If you believe that you are a part of the family of God, that God does not want to use you in some way to reproduce, to produce fruit, to make more disciples, to be a part of that ever-growing community of Christ followers. That's what a disciple looks like. So how do we do it? I think process is pretty important. How we get to the final product is significant. So let me illustrate. The best way I can think of illustrating it is I would like to invite you into my kitchen. Jerry and I, we love to cook. We love to cook. Actually, I love to eat. So if you're going to eat, you got to cook. And we love to do that. So I am told, so I'm not bragging now, but I'm told by my family, and they don't have any prejudice in this, that I make the best chicken and dumplings imaginable. And so if you don't believe it, come visit me, Fort Worth, Texas sometime, and I will make them for you. But process is important. So if you're going to make good chicken and dumplings, there's some things you need to do right, and you need to do in the right order. So one of the first things, obviously, is what? You want to get all the ingredients together. So the primary ingredient in chicken and dumplings is a chicken. Yes. Now, this is pretty important. Now get this. When you get the chicken, what you want to do is kill it, gut it, take all the feathers out, and clean it up before you put it in the stock pot to boil it and get that stock going really good, right? I mean, that's really important. Now, if it was a crab or lobster, you throw them into the boiling water alive, right? That's the best thing to do. Now, you try that with the chicken and tell me it doesn't matter. Process is important. And I think there are some things about making disciples that is important for us. There's a strategy. We need to have a conviction that making disciples is a priority for us as a church. We need to have a conviction that everything we do in the church ultimately helps us produce and make more disciples. That every ounce of energy somehow leads us to that end. The church must come to believe that disciple making is not one of the things the church does. It is what the church does. And so to do that, I think there are some relationships. There's a sense of community where this is necessary. And there's three kind of basic components I would like to suggest that must be a part of that kind of community in order for us to make disciples well. There needs to be sacrificial serving, there needs to be authentic relationships, and there needs to be some spiritual transformation. A key to orienting new disciples is found in Jesus' word, where he instructs us to what? To go make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Now, believe it or not, the church hasn't done very well on that piece back there. We have had a tendency, I think, to teach people to know, not necessarily to obey. We have asked people to gain knowledge. We haven't required people to obey the knowledge that they gain. We tend to measure Christianity and maturity in Christ by what people know about God and the Bible. I get in trouble with this statement sometimes. Church I served in California, Orange County, before this. Church of about 30 years old. Good church. Mature, well-versed, biblical people. And they wanted another Bible study. And I said, you know what? The last thing you need is another Bible study. When you start living what you already know, then we can think about that. And so, don't take that wrong, but knowledge is not a measure of maturity. It's necessary, but it's not the final measure. But that's how we tend to measure. How much do you know? How often are you there? What do you do? The primary of the goal should not be to help people know the Bible as it is to help people live what they know the Bible teaches. Disciples aren't made on Sunday morning. You know, none of our, us preachers, we get this, we love to preach, and the word is powerful and it accomplishes things, but ultimately, what happens here on a Sunday morning in this worship gathering is not what truly causes a person to become mature in the faith. It's when we get connected in smaller communities and where we spend time in relationship with each other and we discover the truths of God's Word. So here's what I'd like to do to kind of wrap this up today. Those three priorities of community. I have some questions under each one of those. And as I read the question, and I think there's a place for you to put the word there on your note sheet, what I want you to do is under each of the headings, there's three headings, under each of those, I want you to pick one question that you're going to pay attention to this week in terms of your own journey to becoming more and more the follower of Jesus that he wants you to be. So the first part of becoming a disciple is spiritual transformation, that there is actually a change that takes place in our lives as a result of God's word. So the first question, relationships. How are you deepening your experience with God? So what are you going to do this week that actually deepens your experience with God? Second word is transformation. How is God changing your life? You know, sometimes change is radical and it's huge steps. Sometimes it's just little incremental things. But honestly, when you come back here next Sunday, if you can't find one thing that God has changed in your life, then you're probably stuck. So what has God changed in your life? And number three, responsiveness. How has the Holy Spirit been prompting you? What has he been prompting you today to do? Pick one of those questions that you're going to pay attention to this week. The second area is authentic relationships. We will become a better follower of Jesus. We'll be a disciple of Jesus when our relationships are authentic. So here's the first word. The first one is authenticity. In what ways are you being genuine with those around you? You know, well, how are you? Fine. How's your day? Good. Really? Well, define fine for me, please. How authentic are we in our relationships? Respect. How have you had the opportunity to value people? How have you paid attention to people in your sphere of influence and showed they have value? Involvement. How are you relationally engaged with others, both in the church and outside of the church? Service. How have you been the hands and the feet of Jesus? So again, this week, pick one of those questions. Which one are you going to pay attention to this week as a way to mature and become more the disciple maker Jesus wants you to be? And the last area is the area of sacrificial service. First word is discern. In whom do you see God working? Does God want us to go and blurt out the gospel message to everybody? Kind of, but not really. I think there's a sense of he's working in people's lives. How do you know who that is? In my neighborhood, it's Robert. Robert lives next door to us. We've lived there 3 years. Robert just came to Christ here about 2 months ago. Robert and I meet every Wednesday at 1 o'clock to spend some time in the Word together, and he's growing. I have other neighbors in my area, but Robert was the one that was ready. So discerning, who's God's working with? Explore. What conversations have you had about spiritual things? Invite. Whom have you encouraged to become a follower of Jesus? Establish. How are you helping new believers follow Jesus and multiply? How are you helping new followers make more followers? Here's the bottom line. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be a disciple, you are a sent one. You are a missionary. And God has called us to reproduce, to take the gospel message, to live out what it means to be a disciple, to make sure that everyone is aware so that we can help them join on the journey. So, have you got your three questions marked? I don't know if this ever happens, but if you want to eat today, you have to come by and I have to check them off, and then you can eat. So, I'm serious. If we don't do what we understand God's calling us to do, then we've just wasted a bunch of time. So, which three questions will you pay attention to this week? Will you pray with me? Father, what a privilege and honor, not deserved in any way, shape, or form, but for some reason, because of your great love for us, you sent, first of all, your Son to us. He died, he paid the penalty for our sins, he was raised again, and by faith in him, we are born into the family of God, and we are your follower.